gonna lie. That being said, you were iffy on Bob. You want a more inspiring hire. Bob was clearly exactly what this team needed.
Oh, he's perfectly fine.
Gabe Kapler wasn't an adult, but I do think the level of respect was lost at some point. There was a loss of, and he blurred the lines too much, and I'm sure you'd agree with this, Sam, of being that, like, cool, you know, I'm the fill-in teacher guy. Like, we're going to do some cool stuff. Hey, I'm going to sit on top of my desk, and you could call me by my first name. So now we're really friends, dude. Or you could call me Mr. K instead of Mr. Kapler, right?
Do you know what image came across my timeline yesterday?
What?
It was like, you know, those like MLB in time, you know, videos or one of those accounts. It was him and Brebbia having that mound interaction where Brebbia and him were chest bumping each other, and Brebbia wouldn't get the ball, wouldn't give Kapler the ball, and Kapler went to go take it. It was the most bizarre interaction I've ever seen.
I think that was the moment everybody knew, like, it's over.
It's over.
When Sean Brebbia, the bucket, as I called him, was literally punking you on the mound from taking the ball from him.
That can't happen. Well, the Pasoy problem in the clubhouse, that, for me, like, what are we doing? Like, he relied on the players to, quote-unquote, police themselves in a way where he thought, like, hey, you're all adults here. You guys can figure out. Yeah, but you also need to be the leader and command respect. There's a very fine line if I'm coaching the 98 Yankees and they can police themselves when they have the likes of, I don't know, Derek Jeter out there, with some of the greatest players of all time out there. That's one thing. When Jock Peterson is my leader, that's a problem.
Joe,
that's a problem.
We're going to look back 25 years from now. We're going to say, you replaced Bruce Bochy with Gabe Kapler?
I know.
That is on par.
I know.
It's on par with replacing Harbaugh and Jim Tomsula.
And it wasn't like we hadn't seen Kapler before, because we saw it in Philadelphia. And it didn't work there. Now, different markets, so maybe it could have worked here. And you know what? For a season, Joe, for a season, it felt like he could do no wrong. And every single time, he pulled the perfect switch when it came to the platooning. It was an amazing season. And you'll never forget that really fun year. And we'll always have that in the back pockets. And if they come to a reunion for that one season, he'll come and show
late up. Night Lamont Wade is still feasting off of what he did in 2020.
That nickname is only off a couple months then.
He had 17 homers that year.
He did. I was at that game of the Coliseum where they had it in the top of the ninth, and came all the way back. It was great. And I think that whoever the pitcher was for the A's at the time got booed.
Oh my God.
Going back to the booze. So there you go. Like, we'll always have that, but the Gabe Kapler experience in hindsight, him taking over for Bruce Bochy. Talking about tough acts to follow. I don't think we gave enough credence to that at the time.
Because, it was impossible.
Because they were removed for almost a decade at that point from going to a World Series or the playoffs. It felt like that series against the Cubs felt ages ago, even though it was just a couple of years.
His first ever managerial move that had everyone scratching their head was game one, COVID season. Remember, he took over the COVID year, replacing Brandon Crawford late in the game for a defensive replacement.
Was Johnny Cueto that game too, or was the year after? There was the Johnny Cueto situation where they pulled him too early, and I think the wheels fell off.
I'll
after
never
that
forget
too.
when Longoria got yanked, and he just went crazy. Like, you could just see it. He was just steaming. Steam. Like, you know those NFL films where, like, steam's coming off of a player's head because they're sweating and it's 50 below?
Yeah.
That's how Evan Longoria looked when Kapler took him out. I also have to read this because I think this might be the greatest description of Gabe Kapler I've ever seen. Hype Flicks on YouTube. Gabe Kapler was PC Principal from South Park.
Ah, that's so good.
It's so good.
That's really good.
It's accolade. So good.
No, that's...
But Bo Mel is just what the doctor ordered, and I will freely admit when I am wrong, and I feel like I am very wrong on this one. They made a really good hire.
I don't think this hire was for this team to automatically go to a World Series. Like, clearly, that's always the goal.
You're inheriting a pretty difficult team to turn around.
Bob Melvin comes in to set a culture, set a tone, and to get you to win the division or be a perennial playoff contender. That's the kind of manager he has been, and he could be this year for the Giants. That's what you bring him in here for. It's hell, sometimes it's for a rebuild, but he's getting a little older in his career now where that's probably not what he wants to do. He doesn't want to have to keep, and that was the writing on the wall for that last A's run where that season where the Giants did win all those games, that was Bo Mel's last season with the A's basically, because they go all in on Starling Marte. They go all in on some of the Yan Gomes, some of these random players.
I love Marte. Right?
I know. They traded Jesus Luzardo, who's balling for the Phillies now, by the way.
I've seen that.
But they weren't in a position where that, like, Jesus Luzardo wasn't going to be there for the rebuild. No. And so I didn't hate that trade for them. They got rid of A.J. Puck. They went all in on that season, and they came up short. Who was it? Josh Harrison, another guy, too, they brought in. Yeah, that's a name you haven't heard in a minute. Wow. Pirates legend. Yeah. Great beard, too. But the writing was on the wall there. Then he goes to San Diego, and everyone's rooting for Bob there. And they had one season. They got all the way to the National League. I can't even think of the name right now. NLCS against the Phillies. And obviously, it didn't end well. They got swept. Or maybe they won one game. I think they got swept. Sean Manaea looked awkward. He just got shredded in that series. And then the year happened after, and there was fights in the clubhouse. They bring in Mike Schilt, and he's gone. And he comes to the Giants. And now, you know, after just a mediocre first season, they're 8 games over .500. And let's see. Like, is he going to win Manager of the Year this year? Probably not. But you know what? That's a kiss of death anyways, and I don't want that. We're talking about it is. The Manager of the Year is a kiss of death. You never want to win that for your team. Unless you're, you know, Andy Reid one year with the Chiefs.
Did he ever win it for the Giants?
I don't think
when he was a Giant manager?
I don't think he did.
I don't even know.
Like, you never want to win that.
Maybe 2012?
That being said, I do think he's gone from overhated to underrated when it comes to Bo Mel and this franchise. And quite frankly, in his profession, because I already listed it. It's only Bochy, Hall of Famer, and Francona, Hall of Famer, ahead of him when it comes to active MLB managers.
What do both those other guys have?
They have titles. They have titles.
Not just that. They have deep playoff runs where they were a huge chess master.
They did. I would argue, though, that they also had better teams.
No, I would agree.
They had better teams.
I would agree.
But again, I don't say that lightly. They're also two of the greatest managers of all time.
So do you take
I would say it's honestly in my lifetime, or just since 2000, I'm probably taking Francona and Bochy. Like, those are the top two for me. I'm probably taking those.
In your lifetime?
No, since 2000. Let's just go since 2000.
Since 2000. Well, Joe Torre? I still think Torre deserves some credit. Where's Dave Roberts for you? I'm just asking. I'm not saying he should be, but where would he be?
I'm taking those other guys ahead of him.
What about Bobby Cox?
I'm taking those other guys ahead of him.
Okay. I probably would, too. I'm just asking. I'm trying to throw out names.
Alex Cora.
I do like Alex Cora.
AJ Hinch. Yeah. I
really do like. What about La Russa?
La Russa. Yeah, he won two.
Matheny?
Yeah. Not Matheny. I'll go La Russa in there, though.
We're just throwing names
out. That's like five. That's like five, though.
Yeah.
Bob Melvin's after that.
It's not a lot.
I do like in Bob, though. Probably Buck Showalter, who's in his own right a really good manager. He is. He has his shortcomings, though, historically. Like,
He will turn you around.
He will turn you around, and I think that's what Bob's doing right now.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. It's fascinating, like, managing. You have these ebbs and flows, these ups and downs. You know, Jim Leland took the Detroit Tigers to, you know, the World Series. The Giants beat him. I thought he was done.
Yeah.
Done.
And he won a World Series with the Marlins.
I know. I thought he was done after Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? Yeah. So things can happen, you know, and stuff happens and guys get better. They have down years. They need, you know, kind of like a spark and a reset. Baseball managing is so different than the other sports. It's not as linear.
No.
You know what I mean? Not. Like, I feel in the NFL, like, once you lose your fastball, it's very difficult to get it back.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you kind of play yourself out of a job.
Dude, we saw Tony La Russa, like, 90 years old, and clearly, and I don't say this lightly, he had a drinking problem, and he got the White Sox to win a division. Like, that, like, happened. Like, did we all forget that happened recently? Insanity. The Chicago White Sox, they had just won their division recently with that version of Tony La Russa. So, yeah, it could be a little crazy in Major League Baseball. Yes.
It really is. But I look at this team, and I ask myself, like, are they a legitimate, forget title, that's not even, come on, let's deal in reality. Are they a legitimate playoff team? Through 2 months.
I think so.
I think they're in the mix.
And honestly, I'm not laughing. I'm not even laughing at, like, the notion of a title, because you know what? In baseball, there has to be something baked into the equation for any team to go deep. And I do think the Giants check some of these boxes.
Yeah, but they don't have, like, for example, the year that the Diamondbacks went, they had Corbin Carroll, who just was a lightning rod for that team.
But they didn't have the pitching. And that's what came to rear its
Gallen?
Okay.
Zach Gallen, yes. And then the young
Merrill
guy
Kelly.
Was unbelievable that year.
Yes.
The guy they brought up late in the year, whose name's evading me. They were on fire that year.
And Merrill Kelly, obviously.
Yeah.
But the
Marte who plays second base was outstanding.
Yeah.
You know, Christian Walker was a very established player.
And they had a red hot Tommy Pham. Like, that's the guy that got really hot for them. And he was, like, a historic. He was insane.
Who's one of the worst hitters in baseball right now.
slapping the ball around.
Talking about, thank you, slap it.
Slapping the ball around.
But you got Logan Webb, a bona fide stud. I know you don't view him quite. I think you should call him an ace. I think he is an ace, Joe. Like, the proof's of the pudding. This guy's always in the 2.6s, the 2.5. Like, I know, like, it, towards the end of the season, because the offense just isn't as good, and the offense around him, they don't give him the run support that he deserves. But this guy, he's, how many times does he have to finish up runner-up, top three in the Cy Young voting for you to tell? He's an ace, Joe. Well, can you give him that?
No, he's a great player. I just have a higher threshold for the term ace. It's like franchise quarterback. I told you, like, I have a higher threshold. Just because you are the franchise quarterback doesn't mean you are one of my franchise quarterbacks in the league. Like, he's a great player, and there's times he pitches like an ace, but I feel like I'm hating him. I don't want to be like that guy.
Okay, well, if he's not your ace, Robbie Ray is pitching like an ace then, and he has won a Cy Young.
So was Matt Cain an ace throughout the totality of his career? Or did he pitch ace-like for individual seasons?
I would say that's a better app.
Then that's kind of how I view Logan Webb. Like, he pitches ace-like for multiple seasons. I don't know if I'm, like, hanging my hat on he's a and I feel like I'm, like,
well,
I'm
no, I don't think, I think there's levels to,
like,
Lincecum
was an ace.
Do you think Nathan Eovaldi's an ace?
No.
But in the playoffs, he sure feels like one.
Absolutely.
Yes, for the Rangers, they'll tell you that.
Absolutely.
Yes. So there is levels. I think an ace for me, they set the tone for the rest of the play. Like, he always sets the tone.
Your definition's a little different than mine.
He sets the tone.
Okay.
Now, some for you, they got to be Cy Young caliber stuff.
Like, yeah, like year in, year out.
Sure. And I do think year in and year out, he's been pretty freaking good. He hasn't got the hardware yet, and maybe, just maybe, he'll get there one day.
I love Logan.
It just speaks to the depth, honestly, too, and just the National League. It's just so stacked.
So last year when Blake Snell was on the staff, I feel like, and I'm not trying to hate on Logan at all, Blake showed you what an ace looks like for 2-3 months, where he is lights out. You are going to win every one of his starts. Like, he is handing you the ball in the 7th and 8th inning every single time, and it's a two-run, you know, output from the other team. Like, and I'm not hating on Logan Webb. He had that in 2021. He's been really, really, really good. He is a high-end player. But, like, again, my definition is just a little different than others.
Well, in fairness, Logan Webb is also, you know, he was there at the start of the season, too, that Blake was not. So there's a lot big.
He is a freaking work. I want him on my team every single time. That goes without saying. But, like, again,
that's a good example. That's a good example, though, Joe, with
like Blake Snell outshined him for months.
And Blake Snell has won multiple Cy Youngs in both. He's won in both leagues. Like, he's done that. But at the same time, I feel like I relied more on Logan from start to finish last year. And I think that's what an ace should be.
Look,
I should be able to rely on
31. Look at how many starts outside of the COVID year. He gives you 30 plus starts every, and there is something to be said for that workload in this era when no one's doing that. Yep. He has led the National League in innings pitched multiple times. Like, he is a great pitcher, I mean, what's his win total high? I don't even know. Like, I know this era is different because you hand the ball
to 5-4 this. Oh, like,
no, I'm saying
a season.
15, 16 wins has been his most.
I'll get that.
This era is so different than before. Like, Verlander was an ace for over 15 years.
Yeah. No, he was. Absolutely. Hell, longer than 15 years, it feels like.
Maybe,
when he was like 20 or something like that. And then obviously with Houston when he had McCullers, is when he had.
Like, he's an Cole. Again, he is a freaking stud. And I love him and I want him on my team every single time. If it's game one of a must-win playing game, like right now, I might go Robbie Ray before him.
Most,
based on form.
Most wins he's had back in 2022, he had 15 wins.
There you go, 15. And that's probably more of an indication of the generation we're in, where you hand the ball to 2, 3, 4 different relievers, every single one in baseball, and it's very difficult to get over 15 wins in a season.
God, he had a 2.90 ERA in 2022, didn't make the All-Star game, 3.25 back in 2023, didn't make an All-Star game, 303 in 2021, didn't make an All-Star game.
No, he's awesome.
He should have more All-Stars under his belt.
He's,
like, he's
reliving
underrated.
The Matt Cain career.
He really is.
He's a much better player.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's got better stuff than Matt Cain, though, too, I'd say.
Matt was really good.
No, but I'm saying, I feel like, and again, maybe that just speaks to, like, the guys and the crazy spin they have on the ball. And just, like, and Matt Cain was really good. He was so damn consistent.
He was really good.
That's how highly I think of Logan.
Okay.
And I just don't, because the team around him hasn't been as good, he's gotten screwed a little bit, which sucks. But again, Matt Cain went through the same thing.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you that. 888-957-9570 is the number. We got about 6 minutes here before we hit Fast Five.
Do you think that this team is a playoff team?
Yes, I do believe this team is a playoff team. I trust their bullpen and starting pitching. I do. I am very bullish on that. And I do think you are a stretch run away from, or a streaky run away from a Matt Chapman, Willie Adames for this team getting some more breathing room. Now, are they going to win the division? I don't know.
I don't think you need to win the division. Just get into the playoffs. That's
totally.
Good form.
But you're just asking me playoff team, and some people want to go division. It's going to be tough because I think the Padres, they are better offensively than you are. The Dodgers, they are better offensively than you are. But
your pitching is as good as anyone in the
game. Is where I'm getting
at. And that was the hallmark of all of the great Giants teams in this park, in this division, is that if you have a great bullpen and you have a multiple high-level starters and then some other guys kind of outperforming what you expect, you can be a great team.
And I will say this. They do have the 4th highest run differential in the National League.
See, now that matters to me. That's a pretty big sample.
So they're tied with the Phillies for 4th at plus 42. You got the Cubbies at plus 93. God, they've just been hitting the hell out of the ball.
And look, the Dodgers aren't going away.
No, they're not. Cubs are good. I was giving Nick Friedel when he filled in for you. He's a big Cubs fan. Our cousin Nick here, 95.7 the game. He's like, the Cubbies are going to win, Joey. I was like, the Cubbies don't win anything. You guys had that 1 year, and I hope nothing but bad things happen upon you ever since the Steve Bartman 30 for 30. Can't stand them, all right?
They signed a guy. So, like, I remember when the Giants were missing out on all the shortstops, and eventually they ended up getting Willie Adames. But, like, to me, you know, Swanson, who was a Brave.
Liked Dansby. Why were people down on that?
But it was a good deal because it's only 5 years.
Yeah.
Right? And I really liked that deal, and I just think he's a good player. He's not a frontline player, though, right? He's just not.
Well,
and
then, the Braves got rid or didn't re-sign him, so that signaled to a lot of people, oh, the Braves, well, they got all the best young stars.
And they were locking everyone up.
And they don't want Dansby, huh?
Yeah.
Which I thought was a weird thing, like, because they could use Dansby Swanson. Obviously, they could absolutely use him, but when I have the Ozzy Albies, the Ronald Acuna's of the world. Then I signed Matt Olson. I got Sean Murphy, all these guys locked up. You know what? And we could lose Dansby.
Going back to the Cubs, the guy that they made a deal for this offseason. Now, they gave up a third baseman that the Astros are in love with, who's like one of their top prospects. But they got Kyle Tucker, the left-handed power bat outfielder that the Giants have kind of been looking for a long, long time. And the guy's got 15 stolen bases, 12 homers, batting .280. Like, he's been a good player for them.
He's been really good. I've always loved Kyle Tucker.
Me too. His OPS is .913.
I was shocked that the Astros couldn't come to, like, what are they doing?
I don't know.
Like,
they're in transition.
Well, it's just weird. Like, you don't want to keep your young, like, to usher in this new era, you don't want to.
But they lost guys, Bregman.
Jordan Alvarez, right? Like, I don't know. I don't get it personally. You got the Mattress Max of the world betting someone in millions. Maybe he could have ushered you. I don't know. Like, right. By the way, he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of this year. Are they going to come to an agreement on anything, Kyle Tucker and them?
I thought that they were working on a long-term deal.
That hasn't happened.
I love that guy.
But honestly, if he's betting on himself right now, and you get, maybe that's a guy the Giants could potentially target in the offseason if he goes to free agency, right?
What would he command?
Well, that's the thing. And now we're talking about this after the Giants just paid Willie Adames $182 million, and he hasn't really lived up to that contract quite yet.